Yeah, great. Thanks very much for the welcome. It's a delight to be here. And thank you, too, for letting me choose the passage I was going to speak on this morning. Hebrews is one of my favorite books in the Bible, because it really just sets before us the glory of the Lord Jesus and all that he has done for us. So hopefully we will have our hearts warmed this morning. So I'm going to start reading from verse 19 of chapter 10 of Hebrews. So if you've got one of the church Bibles, page 1208, and it's in the right-hand column under the heading, A Call to Persevere in Faith. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Great, so do keep that passage open before you. And the theme we have this morning is encouragement for the weary. So I wonder if I can start by asking you a question. Are you feeling weary? Now, it didn't take Rach very long to realize that I give off pretty weary vibes most of the time. When Katie was born, she bought me this book. It's called Lay Down Daddy Games, 25 easy to do activities with the kids when you just don't feel like getting up. So I think actually I should be making more use of this, but it was a very well chosen present, that was. Now, maybe if you are feeling weary, let me ask a following question. Is there anything that you feel like giving up on? Maybe it's stuff related to schoolwork if you're at school, or work. You probably think I should be giving up on my work, given what it sounded like earlier on. Or maybe it's just tough keeping the family on the road. Or maybe life feels like a bit of a slog sometimes. But I wonder how you'd answer that question if I was to ask whether you were feeling spiritually weary, whether you're feeling like you're tempted to give up on your faith. Maybe that's not quite you, but you can think of someone for whom that is true. Or maybe you're not yet a Christian and you hadn't kind of realized that Christians get weary. Well, hopefully, whichever situation you're in this morning, this passage will help you understand a bit more and will provide the encouragement that we need to hear to help us keep going. Now, if you know a bit about Hebrews, it's a letter written to a bunch of weary Christians at risk of giving up. All the way through Hebrews, it's kind of broken up into bits where the writer is giving an encouragement to keep going. And the way it does that is by just reminding them how amazing the Lord Jesus is. So my summary of what we're going to see this morning is that Jesus has enabled us to enter the presence of God, so don't give up. If I can say it a little bit more concisely, Jesus has got us in, so don't pack it in. And we're going to see that with a little help from two episodes of Peppa Pig this morning. Now, you can definitely tell that I've entered the parenthood stage, because that wouldn't have been the way I'd illustrate this previously. But hopefully it's going to be helpful to everyone this morning, because there are some good examples there. Okay, so the first thing that we're going to see from the passage is that it shows us three signs that we might be weary. Three signs that we might be weary. And this actually reminds me of an episode of Peppa Pig where Peppa is trying to learn to whistle. Have any of you seen that episode? Do you remember this one? Okay. When she can't do it, she gets weary and sad and nearly gives up. Right. I'm pretty sure Katie knows this episode. We have it on in the car most of the time. That's how I know it. Now, let's use that episode to help us think through the signs of weariness in the passage. They actually come from the commands that the passage gives us, because if the passage is having to command us to do something, it probably means there's a risk that we won't do it. Now, here's the first sign. The first one is that you are not drawing near. This comes from the command in verse 22. So if you have a look down at that, where it says, "Let us draw near to God." The implication here is obviously that the Hebrew Christians were not drawing near to God, or at risk of stopping drawing near to God. Now you might ask, what does it mean to draw near to God? Well, I think it's about spending time with Him, meeting Him in His Word and praying to Him, not avoiding Him, and not just kind of going through the motions. Now, when Pepper gets stuck learning to whistle, this is what face she puts on. She stops listening to Daddy Pig's advice, and she exclaims, "It doesn't work!" Now, I wonder whether something slightly similar could be said of you in kind of a spiritual way. I wonder whether you've stopped listening to your Father, the Lord God, perhaps going a little bit your own way, rather than drawing near to Him. Okay, so that's the first sign of weariness. The second sign is your faith is failing. This comes from the command in verse 23, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess." The implication here is that the Hebrew Christians were beginning to doubt. They were being tossed about, and they were struggling to keep hold of their grip on the gospel. Now, in the whistling episode, Pepper at one point loses hope. She says, "It's no use, Daddy. I'm never going to whistle, ever." Now, that might sound a little bit overdramatic, but I wonder whether in some way you might feel like you're losing hope a bit like that. Maybe you're saying something like, "It's no use, Lord. I'm trying to stick with Jesus, but I'm losing my grip. I'm just not sure it's true anymore. I'm never going to be able to hold on." I wonder, is that you? Okay, and then the third sign is that you've given up gathering. This comes from the command in verse 24, if you have a look at that. "Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing." Now, this obviously suggests that these Christians had given up meeting together and were no longer encouraging one another, spurring each other on in towards love and good deeds. Now, in the Pepper episode, Pepper's friends and family are actually also learning to whistle, and when Pepper finds out that they can all already do it, she doesn't encourage them. She actually gets a bit angry and sad. And then, whoops, I'm already on the picture. Then she goes outside to be on her own. She doesn't want to be with her friends anymore. I wonder whether that's a reaction that you have had in relation to the gospel. Now, I guess you're here this morning, so it can't completely be true. But I do wonder whether you can feel that tug in your heart. Maybe you could imagine that just in a few weeks' time, you're not here regularly anymore. Or maybe you are here regularly, but you're kind of not here in the sense of actually being present and participating in the service, let alone encouraging one another to keep going as Christians. Okay, so three signs of spiritual weariness. You're not drawing near, your faith is failing, and you've given up gathering. I wonder, could that be you? Actually, at this point, I want to pause here and tell you two things. The first is that I heard a talk on this passage a few months ago, and I could feel in my own heart that there were some signs of weariness. Time spent with God was being squeezed between a busy family life and the demands of a very exciting job. And if I'm honest, fitting it in had become a bit of a chore. I also hadn't given up gathering. I was still regularly at Silver Street doing all the stuff there. But was I doing very much to encourage anyone? Probably, if I'm honest, I was more likely to be moaning that the sermon hadn't addressed my top three things that I wanted it to include, or about the kind of jobs I was having to do running around after everyone else in the church. But the second thing actually I want to tell you is that hearing a talk on this passage warmed my heart because of the way that the writer to the Hebrews responded to that kind of weariness. He doesn't say, "You fool, I'm giving up on you." But nor does he say, "Oh, don't worry, it doesn't matter." What he's like is like an ideal older brother who puts his arm around us and says, "Let me help you. Let me help you by encouraging you." So that was really helpful to me, and I hope that's going to be helpful as we just run through that this morning, what the writer says. So, four quick encouragements if you're weary. Encouragement number one is that you've got the golden ticket, if I'm allowed to say it like that. Okay, this comes from verses 19 to 20. So let's have a look at that, where it says, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened up for us through the curtain, that is his body." We have the golden ticket, so to speak, to enter the most holy place. Now, the most holy place was the central part of the temple where God's presence lived, and where only one person, only once a year, could enter because it was too holy. For everyone else, and for all of the rest of the year, there was no way into this most holy place, no way into the direct presence of God. But because Jesus shed his blood on the cross for us, anyone who puts their trust in Jesus has free and open access into this most holy place, into the presence of God, the God of the whole universe. Now that definitely counts to me as having the golden ticket in my book. I wonder whether any of you can think of somewhere in the world that you would love to go, but it's not normally open to the public, or someone's living room you'd love to go into, but who is very unlikely to invite you in. I don't know whether you normally do audience participation, but does anyone have any ideas? Where would you like to go? Is there anywhere you'd like to go? Any suggestions? You'd like to go to Peppa Pig's house? Well, do you know there's Peppa Pig World down near Southampton? You can kind of go in there. I must say it's more of a theme park than it is actually going to see her house, but yeah, that's good. What were you going to say? You'd like to meet Peppa Pig too, yeah. Well, that's the Peppa Pig World is a good place to go for that. Okay, yeah, I understand that. So let me tell you, for me, it might be the Players' Lounge at Wimbledon. Now, no amount of money is going to get me in there, and my tennis skills are definitely not going to get me in there anytime soon either. But this is actually where the second episode of Peppa Pig comes in. Now, do you know the one where Peppa goes to Hollywood to be in Super Potato's new movie? Do you know this one? So this is the advert on the screen that Super Potato puts out. Are you ready for a little impression? It'll be very bad, but I can give it a go. He says, "Hoo-ha! Win a trip to Hollywood to star in my new movie, Vegetables in Space. Just find a golden ticket to win the trip of a lifetime." Now, as it happens, Peppa Pig does find the golden ticket. But the most amazing thing is that it seems to appear just out of the middle of a potato. Now, I did think about trying to recreate that here this morning, but unfortunately, Jake wasn't willing to sign off the special effects budget, so you just have to do with this picture instead. But the point about all of this is that Peppa didn't deserve to be in Super Potato's new movie, but she was given the golden ticket, and that got her in. Now, I wonder whether there's any sense that that's how we think about being able to go into God's presence by reading the Bible and by praying to him. Do we prize it like a golden ticket to be able to go into an amazing, be a part of an amazing movie? Okay, here's the second encouragement. So if you're anything like me, when I've just discovered that I've got something amazing that I can do, I start worrying that I'm going to make a fool of myself. Does anyone do that? Yeah. So maybe I'll think, my mind will go blank, or I'll say something stupid, or I'll turn up in the wrong clothes. Now, if I'd won a ticket to be in Super Potato's new movie, I'd worry about what part I was supposed to play and how I would find the right costume so that I didn't look like an idiot there on the set. Well, in the episode, look what happens. Pepper and her family are told that they will be vegetables in space, and they're given just the outfit that they need to play the part perfectly. Now, the same is true in today's passage. The writer to the Hebrews knows that we will be hesitant at entering the most holy place because we'll feel not appropriately dressed and made up. We feel dirty because of our sins, even though they've been dealt with by Jesus' blood. Look at verse 22, where it says, "Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water." So we naturally feel our uncleanness, our sinfulness before a perfectly holy God. But again, if I can say it this way, Jesus has given us the makeover we need. Jesus' blood has made us clean, and his Spirit assures us that we belong there. Now, that's an encouragement, isn't it? Okay, here's encouragement number three. The guest list is confirmed. I've already told you one thing I worry about when something amazing happens or looks like it's going to happen. The other is that somehow there's going to be a hiccup and the whole thing will be cancelled. Maybe there'll be a change in the guest list and I'll turn up there and my name's not in it and I won't be allowed in. Now, actually, something like this happened to me and Rach, can you believe? We were invited to a wedding of my colleagues. We were invited to the ceremony and to the reception. And when we got to the guest list, the seating plan for the reception, our names weren't on it, even though we'd been invited to it. So what do you think, as reserved British people, what do you think we did? Yeah, that's right, we slunk away. We didn't say anything, and we never mentioned it to my colleague. I don't think she noticed. Yes, but that's not what happens to Pepper and her family, and it's also, well, let me just show you the photo here. It's not what happens to Pepper and her family. Super Potato and Hash Brown, so Hash Brown's that square dude on the right-hand side, welcome them. They honour the golden ticket and welcome them onto the film set. There's no small print. That means that the prize that Pepper thought she was getting is actually much less worth anything. And it's actually just like that in our passage. So verse 23, it says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful." So God is faithful. He's promised us access into his presence, and he's not going to change his mind about that. I think we probably all agree that the world can be a pretty flaky place sometimes. You know, people change their plans at the last minute. They make up excuses. They don't want to do things when they get a better offer. But the great news is that God is not like that. There's a verse that says, "Who is God that he should change his mind? Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill?" Of course, the answer is no. But what an encouragement to know that the bottom is never going to fall out of God's promises. He really will bring us into his presence. Okay, and the last encouragement, there's no home time. So imagine you've got in, you've been welcomed by the host, you've got the right outfit, and you're having a great time. Isn't there always a nagging feeling at the back of your mind thinking, this is so great, but it's going to be over in just a couple of hours? And actually, what happens in the Pepper episode is that once Pepper and her family have saved the day, rescued them in Vegetables in Space movie, Miss Rabbit comes to pick them up and take them back home. Do you know what Pepper's reaction is? Oh, already? But you know, that's not how it works in God's kingdom. It's frustrating when good things come to an end so quickly. But listen how the writer to the Hebrews encourages his listeners to keep going. Verse 22. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Now, what is this day that's approaching? I think we can work out from the rest of the letter to the Hebrews that it's referring to the day when the Lord Jesus returns and gathers his people to be with him forever. Or, in the words of chapter 4, the day when we enter the eternal rest of God. Now, if you're feeling weary, the idea of eternal rest probably sounds like quite a good idea. Rest that never ends in the presence of God from now until eternity. No home time, no closing time, no bedtime, no last train to cut the party short. In God's presence forever. Now, I wonder, do you see how these encouragements, the thing we've got on the screen, are just the right thing for a weary soul? But the interesting thing, as kind of we've already seen, the writer of the Hebrews doesn't just leave it there to encourage us. There's also a call to action. So let's finish by having a quick look again at these commands. Three commands for the weary that we get given. Command one, draw near to God. This is verse 22. Draw near to God with a sincere heart, with the full assurance that faith brings. If it's really true that we've got the golden ticket to get into God's presence, then let's make use of it. Don't be lulled into thinking that reading the Bible and praying are just religious rituals. Let's take God at his word and enter his presence by the blood of Jesus. Command two, hold on to your hope. Verse 23, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Now, if God is really true to his word, then we can be sure that our faith is the most valuable thing to us in the world, and we should make every effort to cling on to it. As I said at the start, Jesus has got us in, so don't pack it in. And what should we do in those moments when we start to feel our grip is slipping? Let us remind ourselves that we have no reason to doubt God's faithfulness. If he was willing to send his son to die on the cross for us, how is he ever going to change his mind and give up on us? Okay, and then the third command, spur one another on. This is verses 24 to 25. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. It's great to be reminded that we're not on this journey all by ourselves. God has given us fellow Christians to encourage us and fellow Christians to encourage. So let's be active and proactive in doing just that. Now, I do just want to finish by addressing those of you who might not call yourself a Christian. Maybe you don't identify with any of these signs of getting weary with your faith that we've been talking about. But maybe you experience a slightly different sort of weariness. Weariness with the world. Maybe life seems like such hard work, always striving to achieve something or to be someone, and then if you get there, you discover that actually there's no lasting peace or satisfaction provided by that achievement. And then on top of that, there's all of life's worries and concerns, whether it's about falling ill, relationships that are breaking down, just issues that you don't seem to be able to resolve. Now, if that's you, I want to point you to another of Jesus's come to me statements. Jake was helpfully reminding us of them at the beginning. Let me read some words that Jesus spoke. He said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So it seems in the context in these verses that this is an invitation that's being given to people who weren't necessarily followers of Jesus already. So you see how the solution for the world-weary non-Christian is to come to Jesus and to commit your life to him, and he will give rest for your soul. So where we land on this, whether if you're weary, whether or not you're a Christian, the answer is the same. Put your trust in Jesus and draw near to him, and he will give you rest. Jesus has got us in, so don't pack it in. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that the Bible so clearly understands what life is like. Thank you that you know that it can be tough keeping going, we can get tired, and we can feel like giving up. We thank you that you don't give up on us, but that you show us just what we need to keep going. We pray that you would help us to afresh appreciate just how amazing it is that by the blood of Jesus we are invited into your presence. Please help us to make use of that. Help us to draw near as we read your word and as we pray to you. And might you help us to encourage one another in doing that. Help us to keep going. Help us to love the Lord Jesus together. For Jesus' sake, amen.